Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to When Christians Speak Online Talk Radio, broadcasting out of the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. Today's voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. When Christians Speak is dedicated to lifting up the name of Christ Jesus and spreading the good news.
So it's now, brother, can you spare a dime? My God shall supply my needs. Don't have to beg because I am a thief. Cause every good.
Amen. Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord. Welcome to the broadcast today. This is on When Christians Speak Talk Radio. This is Hour 3, Real Life, Real Men, Real Talk. I'm Ray. I think got a couple of brothers that's online with me. Brother Tony, are you with us?
Yes, sir. I'm on.
Okay. And who else we have with us today?
Cleophas.
Cleophas, okay, God bless. Brothers, I think Brother Elston should be joining us in a few minutes. Brother Tyrone will probably not be with us. I think he had a sunrise service and then had regular church. And last time I checked with him, he was knocked out. He was sleeping. But amen. Brother Elston? Not yet? Okay. All right. Well, again, everyone, I want to welcome you to When Christians Speak Talk Radio. Today's broadcast is called R3, Real Life, Real Men, Real Talk. We got Brother Tony and Brother Cleophas with us. We know Brother Elston in a few minutes. Amen. But we are glad that you saw fit to take out your busy schedule to visit us today on this Resurrection Sunday, man. I tell you. Resurrection
Amen.
Sunday. There's so much that means, and we are grateful to Jesus Christ for the things he has done for us on the cross. You know, the fact of the matter, he's alive. Amen, brothers. He's alive. Amen. So we are grateful for him being alive. We're grateful for him dying on the cross for our sins. So we're going to talk a little bit about that and some other things, whatever the brothers feel like they want to address today. But we definitely want to talk about Resurrection Sunday and what it means to us, amen. Before we get started, I just want to remind everybody that His Abounding Grace with Minister Vanessa Williams is every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Declaring the Finished Work with Reverend Pat Randall is Thursday at 12 noon. Friday Night Joy with Reverend Ray and Friends is at 7 p.m. The Bread of Life with Reverend Ray is the first and the third Sunday, amen, at 7 p.m. Talents of Change with Pastor Paul Morgan is every Wednesday at 7 p.m. Our monthly broadcasts are as follows. Life Line with Apostle Shirley Jones is every first Monday at 7 p.m. The Bold and the Beautiful with Reverend Novita Reed, Reverend Curtis Austin, and Minister Jordana Cunningham is every second Saturday at 10 a.m. Amen. In fact, they just finished having a broadcast, amen, on Saturday. Adoration with Evangelist Lewis McEwain is every third Monday of the month at 7 p.m. Marriage Taker with the Bible One of One with Reverend Eric and Reverend Tamika Thompson is every fourth Sunday at 7 p.m. And of course, today's broadcast is Hour 3, Real Life, Real Men, Real Talk with Ray Rose, Elston Green, Cleo Fitzmalone, Tyrone Rose, and Antonio Mitchell is every second Sunday at 7 p.m. Of course, Midday Glory Prayer with Reverend Gwen Dixon is our weekly prayer. Amen. It's every Wednesday at 1 p.m. The dollar number is 712-770-5505. Access code is 732-499. Of course, you can go to our website, whenchristianspeak.com, find out more information about the different hosts, the different shows, and what we got going on. And we would love to hear from you. You can contact us at WhenChristianSpeak@gmail.com. Amen and amen and amen. Amen. I'm still want to make sure. Brother Elston?
Yeah.
Amen. Okay, good. You're with us. Amen. Welcome, brothers. How are you? everybody doing? Resurrection Sunday, man. Amen. We're going to go ahead and open up in prayer, and then we just going to start talking. But I thank all of you for taking this time out and to join us today. This is an exciting time.
Go.
Huh? I know.
Yeah, no place to go.
Captured. This is what I'm talking about. No place to go. Amen. But I know I know Reverend Elston, and I'm not sure about Brother Reverend Cleophas, whether they did some Facebook Live things going on. I hope they did something like that. I don't know yet.
I've been on Zoom, man. Zooming it.
Oh, Zoom. Okay. All right. We'll talk about that too. Amen.
Yeah.
Father God, we come today just to give you thanks. Thank you for your grace and your mercy and your many, many blessings. Thank you, God, for allowing your son to come and die for us on the cross, God, for every sin that we have committed, every sin that we even thought about. You died for those who, for back in the old days to even now, Lord Jesus, you died. We thank you for being resurrected in our life today. You resurrected so that we might have life, Lord Jesus. We are grateful for the celebration of this day. We don't know exactly the time period, not necessarily was in April or whatever, but the fact of the matter that you died on the cross for us, that we might have life, and we are grateful, and we rejoice that now that we are joint heirs with you, we rejoice in knowing that now that our name is written in the book of life, we rejoice in knowing that we can go to the Father. We can say, Abba, Father. So we say, thank you, Jesus, our big brother. Thank you, Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. Thank you, Jesus, our friend, for what you have done. Thank you that even in the midst of all the chaos that is going on all around us, you are still God and you are still with us. And we worship you and we praise you and we glorify you and we magnify you for the things that you are still yet doing. For you are still creating and performing and doing miracles. Amen.
Oh,
amen.
Man.
So you are still able doing miracles. Somebody is on. Amen. Let me see who that is. Amen. 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 So you are still able doing miracles. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And amen. 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 I just want to do a roll check because I had to mute somebody. I'm not sure who they were. Brother Tony, Elston, Cleophas, and Tyrone. Not Tyrone. But Tony. Okay. Elston, are you still with us?
I'm here.
Okay, good. Okay. All right, good. All right. So, brothers, I'm excited. I mean, I've been excited all week. It started from Monday and going back and looking and reading through the word what took place from Monday or from last Sunday to Sunday. You know, there are many different things, man. But what I want to do right now, before we get into all the details of it, I think Elston had mentioned something about that he did at Zoom. So tell us about that, Brother Elston.
Oh, yeah. So the first lady, she said that we should go ahead and either do Facebook Live or Zoom. So I wasn't, ready for Facebook Live because to me that's like live TV to me. So I said at least with Zoom that I could just have the people who wants the link to get started. So this is our third Sunday doing it. We started when they said to reduce the amount of people that you have for your service. So we kept 10, only had 10 to come to service, and everybody else we did Zoom. And then in our state, when Uncle Larry, as my sister calls him, that's the governor of Maryland, when he said, hey, okay, that's it, everybody stay home, I was like, okay, well, I guess we gonna go ahead and start with Zoom full for everybody. And so it's been good, man. It's kind of weird to me because I'm used to hearing some amens and seeing people's facial expressions, and so I'm not getting that because, you know, the way we have it set up is like we're actually having service. I'm standing behind a pulpit. I'm not sitting behind a desk, as some people may, some pastors do. And, you know, not knocking that, but I just still do it as service, but it's just online. And it's just, you know, it was weird. The first Sunday was very weird. I was actually talking very loud. And my wife said, "You're talking loud. Why are you talking so loud?" I said, "Because I just want to make sure everybody can hear me." She said, "You don't have to talk that loud." So I had to lower my voice down some. And it was just weird to me. Today was better. It was a better feel. I actually dressed up, man. I actually, you know, when I got up, I said, "You know, I could put some jeans and shirt on and be good." And the Holy Spirit was like, "Man, have church like you normally have it, you know. And what would you wear for Easter Sunday?" And I said, "I wear my white suit." And yes, I put on my white suit, my white shoes, and I stood in front of that iPad, and I preached like everybody was in my was sitting in front of me. And so yeah, the Zoom is good, man. It's just it's good that we can still, you know, share the word of God, man, during a time as such as this, in how, you know, even people who normally don't attend, you know, our services are starting to attend and tap into the Believer's Sanctuary. So I'm honored that they will even, you know, take their time, their Sunday, of all the live streams they can do across, you know, the globe, that they chose the Believer's Sanctuary this day. So I'm honored that they did that. But yeah, man, it's weird, but that's where we are right now. And
right.
You know what was the thing about it is, this is where you now, to me, and I'm pretty sure other pastors and ministers can see now, you can see who the churchgoers are now.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're not getting all the choirs, they're not getting all the fanfares like they normally get, the flashing lights and stuff. All they're getting is some good word, you know, some good word. So those who tap into live stream, you know, God bless you that you still want to hear the word of God, and you're not fazed by, okay, I'm not there, I'm not getting the 100 voice choir, I'm not being seated by the ushers, you know, oh, I'm not able to sit next to my closest friends, but that you say, you know what, I'm still getting the word of God, and that means that you are about the word of God, that you are about the relationship. There's a relationship that you have with God that you are seeking for, and you're not seeking to be entertained. So praise God for those who does live stream.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Anyone else?
Yeah, I just want to say for us, we actually streamed in to our church for Resurrection Sunday. They actually had a concept of you could drive to the parking lot and you could listen to the sermon our pastor preached from the parking lot. And you could actually listen to the sermon inside of your cars, you know, to make sure you kept in alignment with the social distancing. I agree with the technology. Not only have we been doing live streams with our church, but we've been doing live streams with several other churches all across the world, just listening to the word being preached. And, you know, I've seen a lot of creative ways that pastors are using to help to spread the word across. And I think even in all of this that's going on right now, I think God is actually getting his attention put across, and the word is being spread. You know, no lights, no gimmicks, no, you know, anything. It's just the word. And I think that's what God is really trying to help us to focus back on, is just the word. So
right.
I'm actually, in a way, you could say I'm enjoying this experience because it's caused me to not only get more word, but it's also caused me to be closer to my family as well.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Yeah, same thing here. My church I attend, Spirit of Faith Christian Center, they've been live streaming for the last or about 4 weeks. And it's both of you guys, Elston and Antonio, spot on. The scripture in Mark, in Matthew, I should say, chapter 5, verse 6, it says, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." And it's amazing to see the number of people that are live streaming, that are showing up, the church growth that's going on, or the ministry growths that are going on around the country, the number of people that are returning back to Christ. I was reading something today where, excuse me, these two doctors in another country were confessed atheists, and they've been treating people with coronavirus and such, and they were getting depressed and worn down because they were doing everything within their power and that they knew to do, and people were still perishing. And then they started to see these miracles happen. Mm-hmm. And it turned them from atheism back to God. And they said that there has to be a God. When I've done all of everything that I've been medically taught to do, everything that science has taught me to do, and I can't save, but then when I can't save, there's something happening where people are being saved. There's got to be a God. So this whole thing, you know, we know it's not God. We know it's of the enemy. but this live streaming and people returning unto God, I don't think that this world will be the same moving forward. And prayerfully it won't, because hopefully we don't go back to our normal lives or routine that we had before. And it's forcing people to, you know, I don't even watch as much TV as I used to.
Right.
No sports on. And so it's, you know, I'm a person that believes in studying the word for yourself and getting knowledge for yourself and understanding, but it's causing others to do the same, and it's bringing us as a body to understand that, you know, that building that we went to assemble in, that's the building. But bless God, we are the church.
That's right.
Amen.
We're the church, and it's incumbent for us, even in this time, to make sure that when we have an opportunity, especially with our families and our friends and coworkers, man, we got to witness and we got to share the love of God and Christ, because there's some people out there that are hurting. Oh, boy, people have lost jobs or laid off.
Right.
And so it's important for us as believers, as the body of Christ, this is, as my pastor say, this is our moment, our brightest moment to shine.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
Amen. 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 I'm more or less the same way, man. I mean, I've been doing streaming, or I've been watching streaming for a long time anyway, and everything, especially with the broadcast. And one of the things that I have shared with a couple other people that, you know, even we are getting more people, listeners in, you know, than normal and stuff like that. So, because people ain't got nowhere to go. And
right.
I really want, you know, they said that the guy got to shut everything. I mean, everything has been shut down. I mean, you think about it. Everything has been shut down, except for those things that I needed, like the grocery stores and, of course, hospitals and that kind of thing. But basically, you know, people, I mean, so now what you going to do? It's like when I thought about it, all of this that we're facing right now, and it's all happening, you know, it started before Resurrection Sunday or the Good Friday and all that, of course. But here we are on Resurrection Sunday, man, and all these things are going on. I thought about the scripture that in the Old Testament says that when I see the blood, our Passover, you know, I thought about all the things that the Egyptians came was against, you know, all the different plagues, and they still didn't believe. This is definitely a warning shot, you know, for the body of Christ, but for the whole wide world, because the world thought that in our own way we were safe, you know that the economy was supposedly doing great and everybody was, you know, we thought that we could be safe. We thought the people with problems on the jobs thought that they would never leave their jobs and all this kind of stuff, you know. But I believe there has been a shaking that's taking place you know, and it's a shaking to call us back into to remembering who we are in Christ Jesus. To remember
say that again, Reverend Ray.
I believe that there has been a shaking that has taken place. And it's a shaking.
Yes, absolutely, it's a shaking to
cause us to repent and to come back to our first love. You know?
Yes.
Not all, but majority, you know. Because church was, as Brother Cleofer said earlier, the building, man, it's just a building. You know, it's just a building. We the church. So this is like, this definitely causes you to get back to basics. And also, one of the things, Elton, as you and I both know, it causes you to know God for yourself.
Amen.
You know, it causes you to know God for yourself. Because you can't go there when you're at home and everything and say amen, preacher, and amen, pastor, and feel good for a moment. Now you need something more than that. You know, you need all those sermons that have been poured into you. You need all those prayers, all those songs that have been poured. Now it's time to bring that junk back up. Now it's time to regurgitate and use it. You know, it's time to use that to the max, you know. And everything, and especially within our own house, you know, because if now we're in a situation where we may not have had church in our home. Now we're in a situation, we need to have church in the house. We need to keep each other lifted up. We need to cover each other with the blood. You know what I mean? Our children, the husband, wives, everybody covered with the blood. If you need to go out, let me make sure you cover it in the blood.
Amen.
Let me make sure you cover it in the blood. This ain't no joke, man. People are leaving this world. This is not a joke, you know. I know in the beginning there was some that called it fake news. This ain't fake. This is an awakening for us, man. I know this is an awakening for me and a desire to want to get even closer to Jesus Christ. Amen. Want to get even closer to him. Anybody else?
Yeah, it's funny you said having church in the house because my daughter, she's 6 and she'll be 7 next month. She actually said, I want to have church. And what she did was she came up, she wrote the program out. She told us where to sit. She had her worship music selected. She had her scripture selected. And she actually preached to us.
Wow.
Amen. Come on now.
A 6-year-old. She preached to us. And then my wife and I were just like, you know what? If she could actually see the value of having church, then we need to start having church in our house. And that's what we actually started doing. So even though we've been worshiping online, we've actually had worship in our own home. So
that has really,
out of the mouth of babes.
So she
was the catalyst. God used her to actually help us to figure out what the real value and the real point is. So, you know, this is really instituted a new tradition for us.
Right. Yeah. That's that stirring up. That's stirring up. You know, and not all of us, many of us has been sleeping for a long time. God said, okay, time you to wake up. You know, we're in the days that were trimen, so it's time for us to recognize what time, what season we are. Jesus is soon to come. All the signs are being written, man. You know, go ahead, Buck, Cleophas.
No, I'm saying amen. If you guys will allow me to, I'm going to read something from Luke. Luke chapter 21, and I'm going to be reading from verse 25 down to verse 36. And this is apropos for the time that we're in, and obviously this is Jesus speaking. And it says, and there will be strange signs in the sun, moon, and stars, and here on earth the nations will be in turmoil, perplexed by the roaring seas and strange tides. People will be terrified at what they see coming upon the earth, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then everyone will see the Son of Man coming on a cloud with power and glory. So when all these things begin to happen, stand and look up, for your salvation is near. Then he gave them these illustrations. Notice the fig tree or any other tree. When the leaves come out, you know without being told that summer is near. In the same way, when you see all these things taking place, you can know that the kingdom of God is near. I tell you the truth. This generation will not pass from the scene until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will disappear, but my words will never disappear. Watch out. Don't let your hearts be dulled by carousing and drunkenness and by the worries of this life. Don't let that day catch you unaware, like a trap, for that day will come upon everyone living on earth. Keep alert at all times, and pray that you might be strong enough to escape these coming horrors and stand before the Son of Man.
Yes, God. Amen.
You know, wow. these things, you know, it's kind of like when Jesus told Saul on the road to Damascus that it's hard to kick against the prick. And I started looking that up. I said, man, what does this kick against the prick mean? What does this mean? And what Jesus was telling Saul at the time, it was useless for him to deny him.
Mm.
It was useless.
Mm.
I've set a plan and a course for your life before you was formed in your mother's womb. And we are in this dispensation of time now, and we ought to just be bubbling with joy. Because we're here, and God put us here for such a time as this.
Time as this, yes.
Man, I tell you that if that doesn't get you excited, your wood is wet.
Yeah.
I'm gonna talk all by myself. Glory to God.
Go ahead. Praise Him.
Praise God.
Praise God, man. Praise God.
Yeah.
This is serious.
Put us in any time.
Right.
But he put us in this time.
In this time.
Then he told us that you're a chosen generation, a peculiar people. You've been called out of darkness and placed into our God's marvelous light. And here we are in such a time as this to shine as bright as ever for the body of Christ and to show forth the love of God and of Christ and draw men unto him.
That's right. Without walls.
Amen.
Without walls, you know. That's what makes this whole thing, you know, outstanding, miraculous. When you look at from a bigger picture, you got people joining churches that they never thought about joining a church before, but they're joining churches online.
Yes.
They're joining churches. Online.
Yeah, think about that. They're not joining a church. They're joining a voice. A man of God, a woman of God that's teaching the word. That's what they're attaching themselves to. They're not attaching themselves to a building. And we should not be joining a church. The truth of the matter is, when we received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of our lives, we were reborn into the body of Christ, which is the church.
Which is the church, right.
So now what we're attaching ourselves to when we go to a building is we should be looking for that man or woman of God that we can hear the word of God from in simplicity with understanding that will cause change and transformation in our lives that would elevate us so that we can be all God called us to be.
That's right. That's right.
Not the building.
That's right. That's the building. Not the building.
The don't building. Put y'all on me. Y'all got me excited to stir it up.
Yeah. Read it with them. Brother Tony?
Yes,
wow. I mean, how can you follow that up? But I'm in seminary right now. It's kind of funny that you mentioned the church as us as the church and the actual building itself. In one of my classes, it asked the question, do we still view Jesus Christ as the head of the church? And the reason that the professor asked that is because you know that as a pastor or apostle or whoever is the head of the church, the physical building, we should be following the plan of Christ, who is the head of the overall church.
Right,
are we
right.
really following the head, or are we following our own motives? Are we following our own needs, our own you know, things that we're trying to seek within ourselves that we think the church, the physical building, should be doing. But if we, and the professor made a very valid point. He said, don't you think that Jesus Christ, who is the head of the church, has a plan for every single church that's in the world right now? He has a specific plan for every single church. Don't matter if it's a storefront or if it's a mega church. He has a plan for that specific church to touch a certain number of people. All we have to do is follow the head. And if we follow the head, we'll have way more unity within the body of Christ than individualism of everyone trying to gain something for themselves. So I think right now, and I really love the aspect of when we're worshiping now online, it's really taking the building factor out. And we're just getting straight to the word. We have little praise and worship, but it is straight the word of God that we're being fed right now. And it's rejuvenated me because I won't lie to you, I forgot how it was when I really fell in love with Christ.
Right.
I'm used to the pomp and circumstance, but now it's just like, hey, I got to dig into this word. It's forcing me now to dig more into the word to really validate what the pastor is actually saying. And I'm not saying that as a challenge to him, but that's for my own personal growth and understanding. Mm-hmm. And it's, in turn, it's helping me to be able to better communicate the word to my family. So it's really helping us to point back to what is really essential, which is the word.
Amen. 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 Thanks. This is awesome, man. Also, my brother Austin, I know you got something in your belly, man, just in case. Amen.
Oh, well, I was going to say that that I've been talking to, you know, the people of Believer Sanctuary was, and I said, this is my prayer for the nation, because I noticed that last Sunday, Governor Hogan put out a message that he wants all religious services or people pray at noon. Mm-hmm. And he was like, I don't care what background, what religion you are, I just want everybody to pray. And then Donald Trump had mentioned, you know, about, you know, prayer and thoughts and stuff like that. And then Mike Pence said on Friday, that's the vice president, he even got a little scripture up in there. He said, when two or three are gathered, he said, I want the people, two or three people to gather together on Sunday where the God will be in the midst and pray for the people. And I told my wife, I said, I wish I was in that press conference because they probably have escorted me out. Come on, brother, preach on. Come on now. Like, well, I feel my help coming. There it go, right there. Yeah, all the cameras have been on me. Yeah, they would have kicked me out of that one. But I say that to say this, that, you know, the politicians, our leaders, our government leaders are asking us to pray. They want everybody to come together in prayer. And I remember this back with 9/11 when they were submitting people to pray and people running to the churches. And I said, I hope that we don't, after this is over, because this will pass. Everybody will go back to work. It'll be business as usual. We'll be going back to the churches. Barbershops will be open, praise God. You know, whatever case might be. And I said, I hope that people remember the prayers that they have prayed to God now, that they will continue in that relationship and communications with our Heavenly Father when this is over. Because we have a history, starting in the Bible, that when things are good, we turn away from God.
Mm-hmm.
We have a history of doing that. And I'm saying we. When I say we, because we all have done so. I mean, Bible says all have fall short and come in glory of God. So if we And it's in the past. I've been studying the Old Testament, and that's what they did. You know, as soon as they got to the Promised Land, it's like God told them. He said, "Don't mess with those gods. Don't mess with those gods." And sure enough, what they do, they mess with those gods, and they get the high priest whip. They cry out to God. He sent a judge to deliver them, and they're fine. As soon as that judge die, they go right back to their sinful ways. They keep doing it. They did it with. That's why the book of Judges was so necessary for us to see, because those people kept going back to those gods. And even when Gideon, when God called Gideon was he had an issue, because he said, well, how can God call me? Who's this God? Because where is the God that delivered my people out of Egypt? Where is this? But later on, as you read, when God showed himself to him, he had to go to his father's house and tear down his father's false god. It was a false god, Baal, that they built an altar for him, getting it tore down. It was his father's. So here, Gideon's trying to get some explanation of why his family is poor and why they're under the hands of the Midianites, but they have false gods in their house. So, but check this out. They said that when they went to God, said, "You deliver us out of hand of Midianites, we will put away our false gods." Did you hear what I said? They said put away. They didn't say throw them away, destroy them, get rid of them. They said put them away. That means we save these for later just in case.
Amen.
And so,
come on, man. Preach, man.
And so what I'm saying is that I pray for this nation that they don't put away their false gods just in case, that they understand that there's one true God. There's the Most High God. Only he can deliver us from this plague. So when things get good again, that they won't go back to their sinful ways, but they will stay the course and say, God has delivered us out of this plague, out of this disease that delivered us. No other gods could. No other gods could. No vaccine could. Not even the government. The government is scratching their head. That's why they say, let's pray, because they have ran out of options. They really say, we have to try God now. When God is the only way. And so when they realize that God is our deliverer, and he's our helper, and he's our savior, and he's our refuge, and he's our strong tower, when they understand that, when they keep hold of that, even when times get good, because times will be good again, the economy will rise up like it's supposed to. God's going to bless. God's going to do what he needs to do. But my thing is, in my prayer, in my heart, it's somewhere hurting a little bit, because I'm saying these people, will they forget God when it gets good? Will they forget God and go back to their sinful mess again?
But you know, it's unfortunate, and I think the one thing that I heard, and well, I heard a bunch of stuff that you said, and it was all good, Brother Austin. And the one thing that I heard though was false gods, and sometimes we can build false gods that we don't even know that we built.
Right.
One of the things that I look at is, you know, for the last month or so, I haven't had sports to look at. And my routine when I came home at night was to find some kind of ball game to watch, baseball, basketball, you know, because I'm not into any kind of reality TV or anything like that. I got enough issues of my own. I don't need to watch somebody else's issues. So sports is kind of my getaway. But now that I don't have sports, and I'm not into watching old games that I've seen before, you know.
Right.
But I don't have sports now. And so it's put me back to my knees, so to speak. And it's reminded me of how I was raised. You know, we didn't have a whole lot of options for TV shows to watch.
Right.
The first house that I was reared in, we didn't even have indoor plumbing. You know, we had an outhouse.
Wow.
We all slept in one room.
My God.
During the wintertime. So my grandparents and my siblings, we all slept in the same room. You know, so it's pushed me back to that stage of my life and saying, you know, if I could come through that and become the person that I am now, if I took this as an opportunity. So last year my word was opportunity. This year my word is intentional. So if I'm intentional about getting back to the word of God and getting back to my first love, if I get back to that and I really dig into this thing, when all of this is over, where will I be?
Yeah.
And you'll hear pastors and people talk there's going to be a wealth transfer out of this pandemic, that, you know, the wealth of the wicked is going to be transferred to the righteous. And, man, I'm not that I'm caring about wealth or riches or anything like that. I just want to honor God. But I want to put myself in a position that I can honor God and watch my life elevate. But forget me, I want my family's life to elevate. I want my friends' life to elevate. Because, quite frankly, you, Brother Elston, you, Brother Antonio, you, Brother Ray, Brother Tyrone, we are the only Jesus some people will ever see.
Right.
That's why Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. You don't see this thing the way I'm seeing it right now. So just follow my example. Just follow me. Latch on and follow me. Follow Brother Elston as he follows Christ. And in your following, as you begin to grow and to get into the word and understanding it for yourself, now you can attach some people to follow you as you follow Christ. And this whole thing points back to Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
It ain't about us. We're just a vessel. We're here on an assignment that God placed us here on for such a time as this. And our duties and responsibility is to not just know his word, but have understanding. My Bible says it like this. Understanding is divine comprehension in my heart, which gives me the ability to repeat something at will. So if I don't have an understanding, let's put it like this. The only thing you and I get to keep in life is that which we understand. If we have no understanding of it, somebody can come and take it away. That's why the word says, immediately when the word is sown, Satan comes along to snatch that word out. He don't care about you. He just care about, did you get a hold of that word, and did you get a revelation that's going to propel you? Did you get a rhema word that's going to prepare you to another level that's going to kick my butt?
Wow. That's good. So I say this, you know, don't make any promises to yourself about, from now on, this is what I'm going to do, and when things get better, this is how I'm going to do it. I just say, just go do it.
Amen.
Just do it.
Amen.
Just take one day at a time and do it. I was speaking to the church a few months ago when the first year came by. People talking about, I want to do this and I want to read the word better. And I said, I'm going to make sure I read the word every day for an hour, or I'm going to make sure I pray every day for an hour. I'm going to make sure I exercise every day, you know, because I want to lose weight. I want to do this and da da da. And I said, that is beautiful, and I commend y'all for wanting to do that. I said, but don't do that, because when you do that, you set yourself up.
Amen.
And always, anytime you try to do good, evil presents itself.
Amen.
Evil presents itself. If you say that you're going to stay away from sweets, somebody's going to bring you a piece of cake. Tell the truth. Y'all laughing because I'm telling the truth.
I praise say, God, you're telling the truth.
Take one day at a time. And when you wake up that day, you say, today, this is what I'm going to do. If it's your plan is to read the word every day, today I'm going to read the word. I'm going to set time out today to do it. I'm not worried about tomorrow. If I miss yesterday, I'm not worried about if I miss yesterday. But
that's right.
Today, this is what I'm going to do. When you sit down to eat, today, I'm going to eat a good meal. I'm not going to have that cake that so-and-so brought to me. I'm not going to have it. That's my choice. I'm not going to do it. If I choose to do it, there's nothing wrong with me. Look at that. Listen to what I said. If I choose to eat that cake, I have not failed.
Yes.
God still loves me.
Yes, he does.
Well be loved. Yes, I'm still well loved. If I miss prayer time, God does not hate me. He's not displeased with me. He still loves me. When you understand that, you will make better choices because you're not making choices out of fear and out of you trying to be better. You're making choices because you had the power to do so through Jesus
Amen.
Christ because he took the sting away from it. So now you say, if I pray, I'm loved by God. If I don't pray, I'm loved by God. If I eat this chocolate, I'm loved by God. If I don't eat this chocolate, I'm loved by God. When you think that way, when you understand that way, then you will have more victories than failures.
Amen.
Because that was not law that you slapped on yourself. So when I taught them that and showed them that, it was easy for them to avoid and miss out and overcome those temptations because now there's no law on them. There's no law.
Right.
The law is painful. The law is painful. But when you realize you have a choice, if I eat this chocolate, I'm still going to live. If I don't eat it, I'm still going to live. But I want to do better with my body. Because I love my father, because he loves me just the way I am. So what? I want to please him. So you know what? I want to do this temple right. And no, I don't want any chocolate today. It works,
wow.
Fellas.
Yeah.
It does.
No, because this brother is not chocolate. It's just food with me. I love to eat. And so when
eat.
I have to make sure I eat the right things because I love all types of food. And so with that said, I have to say today, this meal, I'm going to eat right. Or you know what? I don't need to eat breakfast today. I'm good. I should just go ahead and fast today. Today I do it. If I mess up, so what? I mess up. I try again tomorrow. But because I know I'm loved by God and it's my choice, then it's easy for me to say, nope, I'm not going to eat until later on this evening.
What's that scripture that says there's no condemnation?
Right.
That's Romans
right.
chapter 8, verse 1.
Yeah. Verse 1.
Right. So yeah. I say all that to say is this. When things get better, don't just do it. Just pray.
Right.
Just read the word. Just do
yeah.
it. Just do it. Matter of fact, don't what you're doing now, don't stop when things get better. When the sports come back on, I'm not saying not watch the sport, but we don't need to watch all. We all sometimes we know if Redskins play the Dallas, Reds is gonna win. We know that. See,
you know, that's just not true. But anyway,
know that.
Moving on.
You know, I knew we all got yelling about to bring that up.
Out with that. Don't stress yourself out. It's better for you to pray during that time and read the word to show yourself approved, sit there and watch Redskins beat up on Dallas. It's just no need. So just enjoy those games.
Okay, this
enjoy
is. This, I want to put. Out, wait a minute, man. I want to put
hold
out
up,
a disclaimer. Okay. The disclaimer.
You said what?
The Redskins. The disclaimer is this: the Redskins haven't beaten Dallas in like 3 years. So okay,
dude.
Not,
dude
don't,
wait a minute. You gave me the time to speak. Now you trying to contradict what I'm saying, man. You said.
I just want us to say
that. You try to.
we'll
get
keep
behind
it.
Me, Satan.
Get behind you.
Me, Satan. That's all I got.
You know, revelation, listen to the Redskins haven't beaten Dallas in almost 3 years. So, you know, I'm just saying, you know, I get what you're saying.
Hey, Brother
bro.
Ray.
Yes, sir.
Brother Ray, it's okay. It's okay if you haven't beaten Dallas. Not to worry. As somebody said when I was growing up, you know, every dog has their day.
Every dog has their day. Okay.
Right.
Okay. All right. Hey,
I know somebody said on Facebook that the Dallas Cowboys the only thing Dallas Cowboys could catch is the COVID-19. They can't catch no football. That's what I saw on Facebook. I'm just saying.
Yes. You know, again, that's not even funny, man. That's just corny. You know,
that's not even
that's
funny.
Corny. Whoever said that was just plain corny. Okay.
Yeah,
I don't care who they
worry
are.
About
you tell them.
Winning season.
You say what now?
There you go.
They should. Redskins should just worry about catching the winning season.
or try to win more than three games.
We are winners, man. We are winners. We are winners. How God sees us. How God sees us now.
Your winning is because of Christ Jesus. It ain't got nothing to do with no Redskins.
All I can say is,
Dallas
was watching the Super Bowl with the Redskins. That's all I got to say. That's all I got to say.
From
who have not won a Super Bowl yet in the last 5 years, cast the first stone. That's all I can say.
You can go a little deeper than that.
Whatever,
10 years.
Yeah, whatever.
is, man, just do it, man. Just do it. That we just be doers, man. Not making promises, whatever we try to do, evil, when it try to do good, evil always presents itself, man. There's always going to be a distraction. There's always going to be something. Just do it. Don't make a broadcast about it. Just be about the work of the Lord. Just do it. Just do it. And God will make provisions. God will open doors. God will do all that when we just start doing stuff instead of talking about what we're going to do. Just do it, guys. Just do it.
You hear that, Reverend Essence? So just do it. So we want to see you putting out those those.
See, there you go. I got them started. You can't start. Let it go, bro. Let it go.
I didn't know you. Listen, I'm talking about Zoom now. I didn't even know you were doing Zoom.
Hey, all right, my bad. I'm sorry.
You know, I mean,
I'm getting a little sensitive right there with the Redskins, but go ahead.
This ain't about no Redskins, man. You know, this is about, you know, you and ministry and Zoom, but I want to see you more often on doing that kind of stuff more often, man. You know, you don't know what God has preparing you for, you know, and everything. You just don't know. None of us that do. You know,
you're absolutely right, because
I know
that came.
You don't
made
up one of your TV, but it ain't about you.
I know you're right. Somebody came to me a year ago, so man, you really should put yourself on Facebook Live. And I said, I'm punking out right now. I'm just not ready for it yet. But you're right. Yeah. I punked out. I just wasn't. No, because
it's okay.
My wife,
a lot of people
would see it. I'm like, wow.
I
mean,
all of us. Not just
I know. You're right.
You too.
Are you telling Nelson to heed his own words and just do it?
Ooh, wow. Ouch. Shot fired.
That was a shot in love, man. That wasn't hate.
I'm good. I got my bulletproof vest on. I'm good.
That came from a Redskins fan. That's fine.
I received that.
The scripture says, "Today, when you hear my voice, harden not your heart."
Ah, woo! Stay on fire today, okay?
Right.
Amen.
That goes for don't be talking all that, Cleophas. That goes for you too, man. You know.
Oh, yeah, okay.
You and Tony both, man, and stuff like that.
Oh,
you know, God is changing some things in our lives, man. We can't do things.
Amen.
I had someone tell me that with so many people doing it, and I don't, but they ain't got the word that God has given you.
Right. That's true.
They don't have the word that God has given you.
That's true. That's
who you
that's
reach.
What I,
they can't reach.
That's doing it.
You know
yep. That's exactly
yeah.
what I was saying. Too many people doing it, and my word, I don't think my word is as strong as their word. Yep. That's what I talked myself out of. I did it.
Yeah. Then you have to be careful because there's a lot of false doctrine that's out there.
Yeah.
So for us that are believers that are true, that are searching after things of God, we have to go counter against that, not with that, what was our head knowledge, but with the word of God. You know what I mean? Not the strife or whatever, but the brotherly love. But we have to counter that kind of stuff, man. Because this is we in warfare. We've been in warfare for a very long time, and it just guess what? It just got worse. It didn't get better. It just got worse. You know, it did.
Yeah.
We're in warfare. Go ahead.
Yeah, I've been in this journal that I've been doing the last few days, and one of the things that came out is that I wrote down. Very short, and it was something I was doing with a Marilyn Hickey journal. It says, process isn't fun, but it's necessary.
Mm-hmm.
Don't short-circuit the process, settling for a good idea rather than pursuing a God idea, because you're short-circuiting the process, and then you fall short of what God has called you to be anyway. So
right.
If God has given us a word, and we believe that God has called us to something, it's incumbent upon us to obey the voice of God and go after what he's called us to do. And I'm not speaking to anyone specifically. Number one, I'm speaking to me, because I know that there's some things that I've been called and anointed to do that I haven't done at all. I do know this, man, with anything, obedience is the covenant connector.
Yeah.
Obedience connects us to the promises of God. Faith activates the promises of God. And love is the motivator. And the biggest thing, the biggest of them is love. You know, so when God gives us a word, man, we should just act on it, and as Elton said numerous times, man, just do it. And I think sometimes let me speak for me. In my own mind, I start to try and rationalize how I'm going to do it. I've learned that if God gives me a word, he's already made provision. See, what a lot of believers or what a lot of people don't realize, when God sets us on a path to do something, he's already been to the end of the thing. He's already been to the end of the thing. And then he comes back to you and I, and he starts us on our way. So he's perfected the path that he wants us to go on. And now he comes back and he pushes us on our way. And if we go ahead and go, that doesn't mean that we're not going to have any trials or tribulations, or we're not going to come up against tests along the way. But if we stay on the course that he's placed us on, we'll get to the end result of where he wants us to be. And that's for me. That's not for any of you brothers or anybody listening. That's for me. I need to act on what I've been called on.
Yeah, I can fully agree with that too, because even now I've taken this time to start studying and try to get some certifications to help advance my career. And some of those certifications, the cost was this amount or this amount, and I'm trying to calculate in my head, how in the world am I going to pay this to take this certification test or to go to this class? And I had to just stop, because I was becoming discouraged, and I just stopped studying because I was like, I don't have no means to pay for those certification classes. So what's the point of me even studying? Well, as I got to my new job, they have a training program that pays for all trainings.
Come on now.
Get your certification.
Hallelujah.
God said, I already had you covered.
Mm-hmm.
Why did you doubt me? So, and that's the one thing that we have to stop doing is when we get the vision or get the idea that's planted in our heads, we have to stop trying to figure out how we're going to take care of it.
Yeah,
just like it was mentioned, okay, God, I know you got it. You put it in my head. You told me to go ahead and do it. Now I'm just going to do it, and then when the time comes, I know you're going to cut the check. So that's, you know, that really has blessed me, and I just wanted to share that too. Because I could be my own stumbling block. No one could be my stumbling block more than me.
Absolutely.
Right.
That's a good word there, brother. That is a good word.
Amen. Amen. Go ahead.
Can I say this one thing real quick?
Yep.
I mean, he just got me stirred up. That's exactly what I was talking about today when God had tested Abraham and said, hey, I want you to take your son and I want you to offer him a sacrifice to me. And when he got to, I think it was around verse 13, verse 14 of chapter 22 of Genesis, he said, when he told his servant that was with him, he says, hey, stay here. Me and the lad will go up, okay? And he says, we will return again. And this happened on the third day, okay? The third day. And so Isaac, he was like, okay. He said, Father, and Abraham says, here I am. And he says, okay, I see we got the wood and you got the fire and the knife. He goes, but where's the sacrifice?
Amen.
Yeah.
He said, where is it? Abraham said this. This blew my mind. And I read this 50,000 times. But when I read it today in service, God showed me. He says, Abraham said, God will provide.
Yes.
He said it before he went to the mountain. He knew what God told him to do, but he said, God will provide.
He already
prophesied that to him. And then afterwards, now check this out. Afterwards, this is what he said before they went there, okay? Afterwards, when there was a when God showed him the ram, he used the ram, they sacrificed whatever. Then he said, "Let's name this place Jehovah Jireh."
Yes.
God is my provider. So he spoke it. He prophesied that before he went up there. He said, "God will provide." Then once he there was able to build the altar to what he had prophesied, because he knew that God will provide, because he reflected back on that word many years ago when God said he will make him a father of many nations. He knew the word of God. He knew the word of God. And God said, he said, God will provide. That messed me up. So when we need to do something for God, when God calls us to do something, I don't care what it is, he will provide for us to make it happen. We don't have to worry about how it's going to get done. He's already provided for it, because he wouldn't tell you to do something if he's not going to provide for you. Why?
That's
because
right.
If he provides for you, then you can't pat yourself on the back and say, I did it.
That's right.
You can say, once it's done, to God be the glory.
Amen.
To God be the glory.
That's good word.
Yes. Good word. Amen. Amen. Well,
he stirred up. I'm ready to have another church service.
We're running out of time. These brothers were ready to get their praise on, but I'm going to do like this. I'm just saying, hallelujah. Come on, God.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you,
Jesus. Hallelujah.
Jesus, glory. You know, good glory to God. Look what God is doing, you know. And then I was sharing this, and I'm letting Brother Elston close this out. I was so excited about the broadcast for the day. I think I tried to set it up last Sunday. I think I tried to set it up last Sunday, man. I don't know what, you know, but you know, to God be the glory, because I'm always excited with you brothers, man. I love you much. You're constantly in my prayers and everything. And for those that are listening, I want to invite you to share this broadcast, man. Somebody need to hear the words that we're speaking today. You know, someone need to be healed. Someone need to be delivered. Someone need to be saved. Somebody need hope restored. Share the broadcast. You know, not that we got all the answers, but we want to introduce you to Jesus. That's what we want to do.
Amen.
So we're going to go ahead and close out and ask Brother Elston to close us out. Amen.
Father, we praise you, we honor you, we magnify you, we bless your holy name. Why? Because you have done what your word says. You says that no plague shall come not out the dwelling. You said 1,000 shall fall on my side and 10,000 on my right hand, but it shall not come nigh. And we thank you, Father, that you will deliver us. When you hear us, you will be with us in trouble. And after you deliver us, God, you will honor us, Father. So we bless your name, God, because you are keeping us. You are giving us visions. You are giving us strength, God, to do what we didn't have time to do before, but now we do, Father. And I thank you, God, for this opportunity, God, a time of rest for some of us. Some of us just needed to rest, Father. Some of us just needed to sleep in past 7 o'clock, Father. Some of us needed to sleep in. Some of us needed to go to bed and wake up late, Father. And we thank you, God, for this time of rest. Some of us needed to work in our homes and to restore and to declutter stuff and organize some things to get us ready for the next season of our life. We thank you for this time that you've given us, Father. Now, I pray, God, is there anybody that's listening that is in need, Father, especially financial need, Father? You said that Jesus became poor that we might be rich, Father. So if he became poor that we could be rich, that means that all our needs, all our desires, all our wants will be met because you are our shepherd that we shall not want. And you also said your word that you will provide all our needs according to your riches and glory. That means we're not concerned about what the government riches are or our employer's riches are or whatever case where we receive income from is not according to that riches, Father, but according to your riches. So, God, we thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. And right now we stand in agreement. We come against COVID-19. That you will have no power over us, Father, because you said in your word that all, when Jesus said, I have all power in heaven and in earth. Satan has no power. He has no dominion. COVID-19 has no power. It has no dominion. We're not afraid of it. We will be safe, but we are not afraid. For we should not be afraid of the terror by night, nor for the arrow that fly by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for destruction that wastes at noonday. We will not be afraid of that, Father, because you are our strength and our strong tower, Father. So we thank you in Jesus' name. We thank you for health. We thank you, God, for health. We thank you, God, for health. And we thank you, God, for health. You said in your word that with the stripes we are healed, so therefore we are healed.
Amen.
Because your word says so. Keep us, Father, with a sound mind, and keep us to always stay close to you, Father. Remind us, God, when we slip away, Father, you remind us that we will come back to you, that we will stay close to you, even in the good times. And we thank you that we will come out like pure gold, just like you did with the children of Israel, Father. When they came out of Egypt, they came out wealthy people, Father, untouched and healthy. And we thank you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. He has risen.
He has
risen.
He is alive and doing well.
He's alive and doing well. Amen. 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 Well, brothers, again, I want to thank each and every last one of you. Amen. This has been R3, Real Life, Real Men, Real Talk with Ray, Tony, Elston, Cleophas, Brother Tyrone. Probably join us next time. But y'all stay safe out there. Continue to pray and know that God loves you. I love you. You can't do a thing about it. God bless everybody. Thanks, brothers.
God bless you.
God bless you.